Please enjoy this ringback tone while your podcast is reached.
This is Raquel and Chelsea, and you're listening to Baroque Bitches.
Welcome to Baroque Bitches, your art, woo-hoo! History, gossip podcast.
Gossip podcast.
I'm Chelsea.
I'm Raquel. Happy fucking New Year, babes.
Oh my God, it's New Year.
It's New Year's Eve. Listen, there's nowhere I'd rather be than right here with you.
Dude, Chelsea. You don't want to be going out there. It's amateur hour.
In the streets?
No, my mom always says you got to be careful on amateur hour because there's a lot of people that don't usually drink that are drinking right now. And it's never fun. They think they're going to have so much fun drinking way more than they're used to. And they never do.
New Year's Eve has always, for me, just been the most overrated holiday. 100%. Everything's always super crowded. Ugh. Desperation is just like in the air.
Well, because you're going to...
Everybody's looking for that midnight kiss.
You got to get the kiss.
All the singles looking for the midnight kiss. If you don't have it,
you're lame. What, and then you just watch everyone else kiss if you're not kissing someone.
Yeah, that sucks.
And then that's someone is going to, you haven't had a kiss. I'll kiss you. And you're like, I don't want your fucking pity.
Your pity kiss. Get the fucking shit out of here. It's 12:01, motherfucker. You're late.
I'm done. Yeah, I'm done. Over it
the
now.
The romance is gone.
Yeah, every time it's like. Yeah, and I think there's a lot of expectations on New Year's Eve to have a lot of fun, have the most fun you've had all year. You're all like tired and disheveled from Christmas and holiday stuff.
Yeah, but now, I mean, we're old married maids. We don't have to worry about that.
Oh, thank God.
So nice. Thank God. Fabi said to me the other day, he's like, I'm so glad we're together. I don't want to be out there in those streets. It's cold out there. It's hard dating. But for all you singles, we were there, okay?
Yeah.
We went through the trenches.
Your soulmate is waiting for you or not. Or it's better being single sometimes.
Yeah. 100%. Or not. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we definitely paid our dues.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We paid our dues. You have to go through the ringer a little bit and get really disappointed most of the time.
One of Chelsea's exes used to pee on everything.
Oh, yeah. I had a peer.
The peer.
Yeah, I got a peer. It's like one of those dogs that gets all excited when he comes to the door.
Oh, God.
No, he was.
That was a bad one.
Oh, my God. What was I thinking? But happy year of the dragon.
Is it the year of the dragon?
Yes. Well, and not until February. That's the Chinese calendar.
But it's
still kind of cool. It's the year of the dragon. 2024 is year of the dragon. I'm a dragon. I was
born
in 1988. So I'm a dragon.
Have you seen that one meme that, like, is, like, a text from a son to a mom that's, like, Mom, where and what time was I born? Like, what exact time?
Oh, yeah. And he's like, get away from
that girl.
She's trying to do your charms. Yes. I mean, that is a great icebreaker of what's your sign.
My husband hates it. And I think it's so funny.
Because
you know, we have like an 8-month-old and a 4-year-old. And I'll say something about like, oh, yeah, he really likes cheese. And he'll be like, oh, yeah, he's such a Sagittarius. That's not it. And he'll look at me like right? Yeah, right? He likes cheese, Sagittarius?
I'm like, well, no. I guess.
But he tries.
I like cheese, so maybe that there's something to that.
I mean, everybody fucking likes cheese except Gwyneth Paltrow, apparently.
Oh, no. Not Gwyneth Paltrow again.
Not again. We just got her out of our minds. I cannot stop thinking about the vagina candle.
I want it. And
I think I do want to smell it, but I feel like once I do, I'm going to be really fucking mad because I'm going to be like...
If it smells like fucking sandalwood or something, then you're like, what a ripoff. That's not bad.
It smells like the ocean.
The ocean. That's what it would smell like for sure.
But it would. I feel like she would do something like that. I don't know. We should look up some online reviews. I'm sure people have reaction videos of that.
100%. Yeah, that's got to be out there. That was such a big deal, I feel.
Yeah, totally.
Well, we have our top hats on today for both, I think, for festive New Year's. And then...
Yeah, where'd you get your top hat?
I got mine from... This is from my wedding. I didn't wear the top hat, but my husband wore a top hat because we were doing a Halloween wedding because we're quirky like that.
I'm the most different. I got my top hat from my stepmom, who brought it over to make sure my son has a top hat for the inevitable snowman that should happen this year. Yeah, so
for Frosty.
Thank you, Dee Dee. I'm on theme tonight. Because where are we going? What are we doing? How do we feel?
Well, do you want to visualize?
Yes, always.
Okay. Okay. Let's get into it. How shocking! How indecent! What would my lovely wife think looking at this whore in a museum of all places? Titian, Botticelli, now those artists make some acceptable nudes. Not this naked woman. Olympia? Mon Dieu! This is no goddess. She's a harlot. I can't stand looking at her in the daytime. It's almost unbearable to imagine how this working woman made her way into the Paris Salon. I understand why the museum patrons want to destroy it. No, Colette, don't look at her. I can't stand you knowing the woman I know so well. It's so embarrassing seeing my own sins on display. She's a prolific entity, too, since many other husbands are also shielding their wives from her haunting gaze. For these men know this pose all too well. The pose stating, "Who's next?" I've seen the disdain in her eyes before. Me. Ugh, I'm next. Monsieur Manet will surely pay for this abomination. Which leads us to the title of our gossip topic, Naked, Not Nude, Edouard Manet.
What?
Okay.
I am on the edge of my seat. I'm so, what the fuck is going on?
Dude, this is impressionism.
I'm so stoked. I feel like I know what the images are, but I don't know anything about the artist. Not really. Just like maybe the most famous facts. So this is so fun.
Dude. I'm so excited. We got a really juicy one with this one.
I'm so thrilled.
We got Paris. We got brushstrokes. We got prostitutes. We got absinthe. And we got syphilis.
Oh, back to back.
Oh, yes. Another era where the meaning and aesthetics of art changes as society changes. And these impressionists all hung out and discussed art and, of course, talked the tea.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, fun. Yeah.
Love it. Love that.
Dude. Yeah. They're gossiping. They would have been on Baroque Bitches for sure. So,
I love it.
Manet, being one of my favorite artists of all time, was definitely not immune to scrutiny of this art movement. And of course, the TV hunt on this spicy little daddy. Okay, so who is Edward Manet and why is he so controversial?
Why?
I don't know. Okay,
is it
so.
Not Monet or Manet? I'm just kidding, but.
It is Manet. So this is Edward Manet, not Claude Monet. And they are, it's hard to, they have very different paintings, but they are of the same time period. They know each other. They're, at first they were kind of enemies and they're kind of friends.
Frenemies.
So it is kind of, yeah, it is kind of weird.
I love a good frenemy situation.
Definitely. So, this time we are talking about Edward Manet, and he was born January 23rd, 1832.
No way. Jan, yes. Baby.
So, he was a sassy Aquarius.
Yeah, just like me.
Yeah. You're the 21st, right?
Yeah, I'm the 21st. Yeah. And my Venmo is, I'm just kidding.
Can we get those last four digits? So, Manet, he was born into a wealthy family who had all kinds of connections and politics, law, and even royalty.
Oh, okay.
I know. So he's a fancy one. Yeah, he's a rich kid. All right. We love a good...
A little trust fund baby. The trauma they carry is always so deep-seated.
I know. This is a good, sort of a good riches to rags story. But he wants the rags. He so desperately wants the rags. But he still wants to be hoity-toity and rich kid status. So,
oh, he's so complicated.
He's one of those. So, mommy. Who is mommy? Mommy is Eugenie Desiree Fournier. And she was the daughter of a fancy diplomat and the goddaughter of a Swedish prince. Okay. So, very fancy royal connections with mommy. And there's really not much about mom and Manet's relationship. Fancy people didn't really raise their kids much back then. But Manet did paint her several times. So, I think he was probably fond of her.
Wanted the mom's approval, probably.
Yeah, he liked mom, I think. The one thing I could gather that is that she was actually encouraging about the painting thing, about
That's
the art
good.
Thing.
Yeah, I feel like when you're rich, part of being well-rounded in that time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, be a painter and know your homes and know the classics and know
and
everything.
And play the piano, which we'll get into why there's drama with piano. But first, we got to get into daddy.
Okay, dad.
Daddy is Auguste Manet, and he was a judge and wanted Edward to go into law. Of course. Nothing against lawyers, but, you know,
you
who
have
cares?
To in the family, carry the family name.
Yes, and they're very fancy rich people, so of course they wanted Manet to have a very nice, good, rich person career, for sure. So hardcore tea right away with dad and son and the possibility of a love triangle.
What? No fucking way, dude.
Okay, so... So, daddy hired a piano teacher.
No, not a piano teacher. Okay.
Suzanne, for Edward when he was 17 and she was 19. So, they were teenies. 3 years later, Suzanne gave birth to a son, Leon. So, here's several things that are speculated. So, Leon could have been August's kid, daddy's kid. Or Edward's kid. Or some other dude altogether.
The classic dad-son baby mix-up.
Yeah. So Edward, the Manet that we're talking about, Edward was named Leon's godfather at his baptism. So that kind of gives us a clue of the possibility of Edward being the dad, because a lot of women, if they had a child out of wedlock, the guy that they might think that's the dad was a lot of times given the title of godfather,
right,
at his baptism. But Manet did actually eventually marry her right after his dad died.
Oh. So
that might suggest that Suzanne was his dad lovers and her and Edward were getting it on behind daddy's back.
Okay, so that's the theory. That's the rumor.
That's the rumor, yeah. Is that she was probably daddy's mistress.
Wow.
But also son's mistress too.
Ew.
Nobody knows who Leon's dad actually is at the end of the day. And this is the times where, of course, having a kid out of wedlock was a no-no.
But also super common.
But very common. And poor Leon was raised thinking that Suzanne was actually his big sister, and she only acknowledged him as her son right before her death.
Oh no, that's horrible.
So yeah, Leon grew up thinking that his mom passed away and that he was basically he was raised by Suzanne and Suzanne's family most of the time. So Leon could be Manet's son or his half-brother. But Manet painted Leon a bunch of times.
Oh, so he probably really, like, loved him.
So, yeah. So he was probably involved in the Manet family in some capacity. Check out the luncheon. Not Luncheon in the Grass, which we'll get into that one. Okay, guys. But just luncheon. So that's Leon. He's a total cutie pie. And he's featured in some of Manet's biggest works. And the thing is, too, it's kind of like, well, who did he look like? And it's like, well, he would have looked like either of them. So we can't really say if, oh, he looks more like Edward. No, it's all in the family.
No, my son looks like my brother. And we're not an Egon Sheila situation at all.
Oh, God.
Gross.
So some juice right away. But Manet did have an interest and talent in drawing caricatures at an early age. And his uncle would take him to the Louvre. And he loved the paintings of the masters like Titian. And Titian will be brought up again soon as an inspiration for a very scandalous nude. Okay, ooh. So daddy didn't want Manet to pursue in the arts and fears.
Fucking dads. This dad's pretty bad. I'm not going to lie. I know.
Then fears that he would tarnish his family's reputation by going into an inappropriate career for a wealthy kid. But Manet definitely didn't want to go into law. That's for sure. He was like, I'm not doing that.
Mine.
So daddy, trying to figure him out, daddy put him on a Navy vessel going to Brazil in hopes that he would find Navy life exciting. Okay. So during this time, France was known for their naval prowess, and dad wanted him to become a naval officer. And Manet did enjoy sea life, but he really sucked at anything academic and failed his naval exams a lot of times over several years. But that's a good thing. That's good. So,
yeah.
So parents eventually gave in to his desires to paint and enrolled him in art school. Fucking finally. Should have done that in the first place.
Just let him fucking paint. Who cares?
Why not? He's fucking rich. Who cares? So they just don't get it.
Don't get it.
Sorry, I don't get it. Okay, so he's finally in fucking art school studying under this dude, Thomas Couture. Ooh. So Couture painted classical historical references. So check out, this one's a cool painting actually. Check out Romans in Their Decadence.
Romans in Their Decadence by Couture.
Yeah, by Thomas Couture. And it's a great boozy, sexy painting. missing. So I don't know why they were so scandalized by Manny of Manet's work, since we're dealing with sexy people here.
Yeah, lots of sexy, naked, lounging,
debauchery,
drunken,
booziness.
People.
Yeah.
Bacchus is definitely influencing this one. Yeah,
they are celebrating Bacchus.
What up, Bacchus?
So, yes. So this is the guy that he's studying under. So he's painting duplications from the old masters, as you do.
As you do.
He loved duplicating Velazquez, Titian, Halls, Rubens, and Courbet. So Couture and encouraged him to paint scenes from contemporary life, but he would later be horrified of Manet's subject matter of lower class people.
Got it.
Like, you said to paint from life, right? Well, this is fucking life. What are you talking about? This is life. Yeah. This is what I see. Right.
Yeah.
A lot of confusion here about like what to paint in this era.
Right. And all those artists are like more like classical. Right,
like yes, like if when you're dealing with Titian and stuff like that, they're dealing with
like the masters.
Yeah, right? Mythological scenes, of course, scenes from religious the Bible. Scenes. Yeah, allegorical things. It's realistic and romantic and idealized bodies.
Idealized, yeah, is really the word for it, right?
Of like life what? Is beautiful and serene. There's and everybody's carefree. Free. I mean, except for Jesus.
We got some holes in him.
Yeah. Like, poor Jesus man. Has to be all bloody and fucked up. And like, everyone else gets to be fucking Bacchus and getting drunk. So, anyway, it is definitely a faux pas to paint lower class people during this time. And this reoccurring subject matter for all the Impressionists, because they wanted to paint all the people, regardless of their place in society. And this was like a big fucking deal for you to be painting normal people is just no, absolutely not. But why is this rich kid painting poor people?
Right. Like, how does he even know them, right?
Yeah. So, Manet had many art inspirations when it came to painting. So he's fangirling over fucking everybody. He also had great, since he was a rich kid, he also had greater access to looking at paintings. He lived close to the Louvre. He was able to travel all over Europe and see the greats. So he did have more access, and he absolutely fell in love with one of my other favorite painters of all time, Rubens. Mm-hmm. So Rubens, if you don't know, he's the guy that paints hot fat chicks. So we love Rubens. But
we love you.
He's so awesome. But he also paints philosophers. So check out the four philosophers. Not as sexy as his fat chick paintings, but it does depict Rubens himself on the far left. And philosophers are always seen as outsiders, artists, beggars, travelers, hermits, etc.
Just like weirdos.
Overall weirdos, for sure.
Like us.
Like us. So I think Manet romanticized people like this coming from a stuffy upper class family. And sure. Manet wanted to be one of the outsiders. Like, I totally get it.
Yeah, he's like a rebel. He wants to rebel against this prim and proper bullshit.
100%. So once you find your weirdos, it's kind of like all good from there. Yeah, they're out there, you guys.
Yeah,
you just got to know where to look. Bars. Mm-hmm. They're in bars. They're drunk. Anyway, Manet ran with this kind of subject matter, these kind of like weirdo philosophers, and painted all kinds of people, including beggars, transients, drunks, bullfighters, musicians, and people chilling in bars and cafes. So check out this Spanish singer. Like many Parisians, he's obsessed with Spain and loved painting Spanish people. So the French artists at this time were inspired by Spanish artists because of the Peninsular War and freaking Napoleon invading Spain and taking art and showing it off in France. So we remember the Peninsular War from our Goya episode. Very fucked up. And horrible. I guess that's like the silver lining is a spotlight on Spanish art. So like,
yeah.
I thought it was going to be violent.
And like intermingling of cultures
of different nations and different styles.
Globalizing different sort of things.
Like, yeah, which is going to be a big theme
exposure
for the Impressionists. So that had to do with Napoleon. So Napoleon is still around during this time, sort of. So it was Napoleon III, Napoleon I's nephew, and he was actually kind of okay. In a way, he really wanted to restore France and made Paris like all nice. Paris before that is kind of like a medieval town. Napoleon really wanted the approval from the French people. And we're like, you know what? We're going to zhuzh Paris up.
The fuck up.
And make it the most beautiful place ever. So he did all kinds of public works and renovations. And the Impressionists obviously liked this since they painted Paris scenes a lot. So he did also declare war on the Prussians, who defeated the French army easy peasy. Anyway, so that's all going on during this time. And Manet even served in the National Guard to help defend the city during the siege of Paris. But that's later on and blah, 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 war stuff. So let's get back to the juice. You know how we are. So he's 24 and he opens his own studio because he's a rich kid. Yeah, that must be nice. And he painted The Absinthe Drinker, which was his first submission to the prestigious Salon de Paris, Salon de Paris, which was very much rejected because of the subject matter of like a drunk guy, which is like a big no-no for the gallery's conservative requirements. And he's going to know, right? Like, he's going to know that they're not going to like this.
He doesn't look that wasted.
Right? He doesn't look that drunk.
No, he just looks like a dude, like, sitting next to Absinthe. Oh, and the bottle's on the ground, so.
Yeah, I guess he's just kind of, like, chilling, and they just didn't like this. I wish I had
his top hat.
Dude, that's what I'm trying to go for, is I'm trying to go for the Absinthe drinker.
I feel like I just look like Madonna.
Regardless of this rejection, he'll keep trying. Oh, and he keeps trying and trying. And he makes some new friends along the way. Remember, he's an Aquarius. So he's got to collect those friends. So his art buddies / enemies / frenemies consist of Degas. Okay. So Degas is the ballerina guy. Mm-hmm. So you know him from the ballerina painting. So side note on Degas, if you want to hang one of these cute little ballerinas up in your little girl's room, they're whores. So you got whores in your little girl's room. And I love that for you. Chelsea. Anyway, he's also got Renoir, who fucking fought with Degas all the time. Art should be nice. No, it should be naughty. And then, of course, we got Monet, the water lily guy. Mm-hmm. So he makes nice stuff. And we got Cézanne, who Picasso said was the father of us all.
Father of us all.
We also have Morisot, a lady who painted pretty ladies and encouraged Manet to paint plein air, which means to paint outside.
Right.
And they also became a family when she married Manet's brother.
Oh. Cute.
So fun quote from Manet. This woman's work is exceptional. Too bad she's not a man. So he gets it. He knows it's fucking hard.
Oh.
Of like, yeah, these are great. Bummer that you're never really going to get a lot of
recognition. Bummer that nobody's going to give a shit because you have a vagina. Sorry.
But of course, when there's a lady introduced to the picture, we got to talk about a hypothetical romance.
Right.
So there has been a speculation that before Morisot married Manet's brother, there might have been an intimate relationship between them. But she did pose frequently for Manet, so you can check out one of my favorite Manets, The Balcony. The painting is inspired by Goya's Mahas on the Balcony, and it depicts three characters, and the fourth in the shadows, who was probably Manet's son, maybe Leon. So this was Manet's first portrait of Morisot on the left, and a prolific violinist, Fanny Claus. So I love that.
Fanny Claus. Wow. Yeah.
And a painter, Antoine Guillemette. And of course, this painting was not well received after it was exhibited in the Paris Salon. So let's actually get into the Paris Salon and all the juicy drama with that. Like, what the fuck? Why is this so important? So what's the deal with this salon and why do people need its acceptance so bad?
Yeah.
So the Paris Salon was an annual exhibition of the best French art. So it originated as an exhibition for recent graduates of the Royal Arts Academy. It's kind of like a BFA show or MFA show. But after a few decades, it accepted work from all artists, graduates or not. So cool. These exhibitions were shown salon style. Get it? That's why we get the gallery walls, the salon style. And paintings were covering every inch of space available. And they didn't accept too many of the Impressionists we know and love today. However, a few paintings did make it into the salon, but they would be hung in like a shitty area. So annoying. So this has happened to me like several times. So it's like, yay, you get accepted. Then you promote the show. Then you like invite all your friends. Then you get dressed up. Then you show up and notice that your painting is on the fucking ceiling. And then you have to explain to your family.
Or it's hung wrong. Ugh, that happened to me. And I was so upset. It was oriented the wrong way. Fucker.
And then you kind of like have to explain. The people that show up, they're like, oh, it, why you can't is it really in the bathroom? See it. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I what guess I fucking next suck. To
the dog bowls on the ground.
What the fuck?
Why did you put me in the show? What the fuck?
But there was one Manet painting which was accepted into Salon, which brings us to our super scandalous nude, Olympia.
Ooh, Olympia. And
dude, when I say scandalous, I mean people are literally tripping their fucking balls off. Freaking out. So let's get into it. So who's Olympia? Who the fuck is Olympia? So the name Olympia was commonly used as a fake name for French prostitutes.
Ooh.
So a scandal already. Oh. So you might wonder why the salon took a nude portrait of an obvious prostitute. So the salon was starting to reject a lot more paintings than usual because of the Impressionist movement.
Right.
And we'll get into what that is soon. But the salon itself was getting criticized for censorship. So they reluctantly did accept it and just waited for shit to hit the van because they knew that shit was going to hit the fan. And it did. So fucking hard. But why? It's just another nude, right?
Yeah. So what's the vibe? What's the deal? Who gives
a shit? So patrons did not read it like that at all. So because Manet added a few key symbols, like the title, and I don't know, all these symbols did freak people out. So we'll get into what the symbols are for Olympia that got everyone so crazed. So she's not an allegorical figure like Venus. She's a real woman. So for nudes to be acceptable, they have to be like mythological creatures.
Like, have not to be in the Bible, okay? If they're gonna be naked, make them holy. What the fuck is that
exactly
about, right?
Because women can't actually be people with bodies. I don't know, it's so fucking stupid. So even
if I know men are gonna jack off to fucking anything.
So even though like most of the Venuses out there are probably based off of a real woman for reference, right? It's just about the idea of idealizing a woman as God's great creation made specifically for the male gaze. And not like a woman with a life and a human body. Guys hate to think we're people. Yeah.
How dare we?
How dare we be people? So let's read all the other things. So there's a black lady servant presenting her with a bouquet of flowers. So probably from a client, to which Olympia doesn't give a shit about. So these flowers, this huge bouquet of flowers, but they're wrapped in newspaper, which says that they are probably very cheap. Wow. And they're probably from a client, and she's just like, ew, what the fuck is this? He thinks I'm gonna like this? So on top, okay, so on top of this painting being scandalous, it's now considered totally racist too.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. So, well, Manet likes his caricatures, right? So, yeah, this black woman is so dark that she's barely visible and fades into the dark toned background except for her big white eyes. I know, it's not good. And women of color in paintings were also very heavily sexualized and seen as like symbols of sex, hence why she's serving Olympia. So yeah, Manet does kind of suck for this racist character. But let's get into some more of the clues that we see in this painting. So Olympia's sheets, they're all messy. So they've already so been
a fucking.
Yeah, they've already been played in. And she's looking right at the viewer. Ooh, pretty much like, who's next? I'm done with this last one. Now, listen. Come on. I don't got a lot of time.
I got a lot of things to do.
I got shit to
laundry.
Do. It's fucking brutal. She also has a cat at her feet instead of a dog, right, like in Titian's Venus of Urbino. So if you look at Titian's, if you look at Titian's Venus, you can see a lot of similarities here with some of the symbols. So a dog in a painting is, especially next to a woman, is usually a symbol of fidelity, which is like loyalty,
right?
And a cat is a symbol of sensuality and freedom. So the fucking opposite of fidelity. And also her hands are covering her genitals, suggesting no money, no peeking.
Listen, there ain't no free fucking shows here, okay?
Absolutely not.
No, girl. Sex work is work.
Sex work is 100% work. And we'll get into more prostitute stuff soon. So the orchid in her hair too. Uh-huh. So orchids are thought to have aphrodisiac properties. So anytime you see an orchid, something spicy
something's
is going
happening
on.
In the pants.
Yeah. We also have a black ribbon choker, which was just stylish for Parisian prostitutes. I don't know. I think any dude that sees like a chick with a choker gets an instant boner.
Right? They're just like, damn. 100%.
Especially if that's the only thing she's wearing.
Ooh. It's hot.
The gold bracelet seems to be the same bracelet on Titian's Venus. So Manet making direct connections there. And on top of that, he painted it with loose immediacy and simplified tones, you know, like impressionist style.
Yeah.
Which people didn't fucking like.
No.
So people flocked to see this painting to be able to criticize it and see what all the fuss is about. I mean, I think that it was so scandalized because of men's insecurities about a woman basking in her own sexuality.
Right.
Because typically women are supposed to be submissive to men's sexuality. And I think that's the real reason for this painting to be heavily scrutinized. So there's so many fucked up quotes on this one, but I just gathered a couple. So Olympia can be understood from no point of view, even if you take it for what it is, a puny model stretched out in a sheet. The color of the flesh is dirty, the modeling non-existent. We would still forgive the ugliness were it only truthful, carefully studied, heightened by some splendid effective color. The least beautiful woman has bones, muscles, skin, and some sort of color. Here, there is nothing, we are sorry to say, but the desire to attract attention at any price.
Okay, haters.
Here's another good one. So, what is this odalisk with a yellow stomach? A base model picked up I know not where, who represents Olympia? Olympia? What Olympia? A courtesan, no doubt. And just so you know, an odalisk, what? It's like a concubine.
Oh, I thought you said obelisk. Like
odalisk. Yeah. Obelisk. It's like, it's a prostitute. Yeah. Okay. So many people were trying to vandalize it. People were taking their umbrellas and trying to slice it with their umbrellas. So
How dumb are these people? Dude. You don't have swords, they're umbrellas.
Guards had to be stationed around it, and it had to be moved above a doorway to keep out of the reach of the public because the people were just so appalled that they wanted to destroy it.
I love a good
shock.
Yeah, I love a good public. Like shock value. Incite hatred. God, it's just that's like such a compliment to the artist though. Like how impactful the image is. Like
And it made such a fuss. So pregnant women were warned before looking at it to prevent a medical emergency because it was just that shocking.
Listen, women go through fucking child labor. Dude, we can handle it.
We can handle a little lady.
Come on.
Okay, let's get into the model. So the model was no base model. She was a very prolific model and artist herself.
Oh.
Victorine Marant. And the black woman was Larrey. And her last name is unknown. Mm-hmm. But Larrey was also a very known art model. And she was very beautiful, even though you can barely see her in Olympia. But Larrey sat for Manet several times. So you can check out Portrait of Larrey, so you can actually see what she looks like, and she's hella fucking pretty. So it just kind of sucks she's represented as kind of a caricature in Olympia, but she's painted more times as a beautiful woman. So I had to have a little shout out for Larrey because she kind of got the short end of the stick in Olympia.
Yeah, I know. She's super pretty.
Yeah. So there was another highly controversial painting featuring Victorine called Luncheon in the Grass.
Luncheon in the Grass.
Which was not picked up by the Salon because of the shocking subject matter.
Well, I imagine after the last time, he's not really readily getting accepted.
So this one, Luncheon in the Grass, features a nude woman sitting in a park next to two fully clothed dudes on each side of her. So there's some tea on there.
Damn, yeah. It's like kind of
so, yeah. It's sexy. It's very much like, okay, let's just get naked.
It's like, okay, what is about to happen?
You guys don't need to be naked, but I'm getting naked. It's hot out here, man. Remember that whole thing about his wife / piano teacher and his dad?
Yes.
Well, Manet might be pointing to his past love triangle with dad in this one. Of like, there she is. So we are dealing with another Titian inspiration here. You can check out Titian's Pastoral Concert. So this one also has female nudes next to fully clothed men, but this one didn't freak people out as much because they were idealized nudes for the male gaze, and they're not looking directly at the viewer. So men's little penises shrivel up at the sight of a naked chick staring at them, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. I don't have one, so I don't know what happens. They don't like that. They want you to just look away. Don't look at me. Look away.
Probably just like, oh no, a boner. Oh no. A public boner. Burn it.
Burn. So Manet also made these paintings fucking huge, which is only reserved for important historical or mythological subjects, not portrayals of everyday life. So he knows how people will react to this, right? He gets it, right? He's got to get it. Well, probably. So the artist, remember the artist being outsiders thing? Well, that's the story of the Impressionists.
Yeah, okay.
So they were outsider artists at the time, and they were all inspired by each other and would hang out in cafes and talk art and what's this new revolutionary art style. And they fully knew that regular people would just not get it. Sorry, don't get it. You just don't get it. It's fine. A famous Impressionist, Cézanne, describes Impressionism well in this quote, "For an Impressionist to paint from nature is not to paint the subject, but to realize sensation." So art's getting artsy.
Ooh, yeah. Philosophical.
Yeah, it's not a copy of a subject. It's an interpretation.
That is a huge fucking leap. I mean, isn't it?
Wow. Yes, it is huge. And there'll be some more inspirations to what this art movement is all about coming up soon. So where would artists show if the Salon de Paris is refusing them all the time. The Salon de Refusé. Oh. So that is French for Exhibition of the Rejects.
Oh, I like it. I feel like I yes. would be in that one.
Oh my gosh, it was the coolest place. So you can actually thank Napoleon III for this one.
Thanks, Napoleon III.
The French be Frenchin, and Ooh. Artists starting protesting the Salon de Paris for rejecting such large number of their paintings.
Wesh, wesh.
Yes. Napoleon III, being sensitive to the public's approval, agreed to display the rejected art in the Palace of Industry in 1863. So, this exhibition displayed many of the Impressionist paintings we know and love today, including Manet's Luncheon in the Grass. So, the Salon des Refusés was super popular, and in this sparked a huge influx of art enthusiasts becoming interested in Impressionism, and people actually began liking this style more than the paintings in the Salon de Paris. But don't get me wrong, it took fucking 20 years. For it to become popular. Yeah. So Manet started really being recognized by the artistic community while still being criticized by the public and the majority of the art collectors. So artists get it, but just nobody else gets it. So art collectors and artists just are not on the same page right now. But the artists knew that they had something, but yeah. They weren't totally sure what they had.
Stay the course.
But they knew that art was changing, you know, like the beginning of modern art.
It's been the same for so long at this point, right? Like fucking, 400 years since the Renaissance? It's been the same fucking shit.
Yeah, we're still making these Bacchus.
But that's like how crazy this was. Like, that's how impactful this was. Like, it took
Jesus
them that
and
long.
Mary and fucking Zeus.
But that's how long it took them to come up with something new. And that's why it's so exciting. And so.
Oh, yeah. They knew they had something.
So many people off, though, right?
Yeah. They knew that they were going to get scrutinized, and they totally get it. Manet gets it. So what else were these artists looking at for inspiration? They were looking east to Japan. Okay.
Ushamase.
Konnichiwa. So, okay, Japan for centuries was intentionally isolated nation. So nobody can look at our cool stuff and steal it kind of vibe.
Right.
But during the 1800s, Japan started trading a lot more and right. opening up to the world. And they started trading block prints called yukioi prints to vendors in Paris. And the Impressionist fucking loved them.
Love that
shit. Oh, my God. They thought. And they became the first anime kids. And many historians actually credit Hokusai for changing Western art altogether.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, Hokusai is the great wave, guys.
Waves,
so you know the big wave?
You know the waves. Hokusai. You guys seen the waves. You've been to a sushi restaurant.
You've been to a sushi restaurant.
You've seen them. That's how prolific
totally
this guy
seen
is.
Them.
He's everywhere.
Hokusai definitely deserves an episode. Yeah. So
maybe next time. Maybe I'll do Hokusai.
Yeah. Arigato, Japan, for changing Shamase. Western art altogether. Manet was obsessed, and his work was heavily inspired by these prints, and you can tell. So he's dealing with flat, vibrant colors, minimizing the illusion of depth and the use of flat black. So check out Portrait of Emile Zola. Not only does he use flat black in the man's jacket, but he has Japanese prints also shown and displayed on the wall behind the gentleman. So these guys fucking loved this work. And another reason that the French Impressionists loved this work was that they often depict everyday life.
Right.
Japan fucking gets it. They get it already. They've been doing it. And we just don't know. We just don't know what they're doing. And of course, the public hated it. Particularly the whole lower class people with upper class people in the same frame, because That no, I guess. We're never together.
Because listen, you can't sit with us.
But that's city life. Who are these other guys in the Impressionist movement that were inspired by and inspired Manet? Well, Monet. So, fun quote from Manet. They must have
fucking hated this.
Dude, they hated it. So, fun quote from Manet. Who is this Monet whose name sounds just like mine and who is taking advantage of my notoriety?
I mean, okay.
I would get it. I'd be pissed off.
I would be mad too. Yeah, totally.
They did end up being friends and talking a little shit too.
Listen, nobody has my name. Like my name, I've never met anybody with my name, but every time I meet another Raquel, fucking just automatically get a little territorial of the name.
Oh yeah. If I meet another Chelsea, it's like, I'm better. I'm the better one.
That's okay. Exactly it. It's you're like, okay.
You
wait,
can have it.
Second.
You can use it. You can use it. It's not yours.
I remember being like 8 years old and meeting like a random kid at the beach, you know, like you do. And she was like, oh, my cousin's name's Raquel. And I was like, oh, is it spelled this way though? And she was like, yeah. And I was like,
Okay.
I fucking hate your cousin. It doesn't bother me anymore. I don't care. If there's somebody else out there with my spelling, let's like make a club. There's maybe two of us. We'll take him with the world.
We'll take him with the world. Okay, so Manet and Monet, they had a little club. They'd be talking shit. A fun quote from Manet to Monet about Renoir.
Oh, shit.
He has no talent at all, that boy. You, who are his friend, please tell him, please, to give up painting.
Damn, talk is spicy.
Renoir is, I love it too. Renoir is another impressionist painter. He definitely does have talent, but Manet might be just a little jelly.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Okay, so Monet was really the one to coin the term impressionism, along with a critic, Leon Leroy, who used the term as an insult. So Leon was responding to Monet's painting on display in 1874, Impression Sunrise. So he condemned it by calling the painting nothing more than a sketch and dubbed the show, quote, the exhibition of the Impressionists. And there it is. Our outsider artist had a name for their group, the Impressionists. Oh. So a little bit of inspired by Monet's painting, Impression Sunrise, which is a beautiful painting. But it's very quick. It's very immediate. It's done plein air. So you only have a couple hours for the sun to look like that. So it's very, very immediate. A lot of the critics said that the Impressionists were, okay, this is the beginning stages of a painting. Where's the rest of it? Where's the one? This is a study. Okay, well, and the Impressionists enjoyed the level of immediacy. They liked the energy behind the brushstrokes.
Right. Let's make the medium work for us. Like, and, who likes this?
Yeah. And this is also where tubed paint became available as well. So they had a lot more access to paint. They can actually go buy paint at the store, which is definitely
not from
different.
Like an apothecary or something before.
Well,
that?
they typically, if you wanted a certain color, you would have to grind it up and add oil to it. Yeah. So you would have to make your paints yourself or have an apprentice do it. So artists like Rembrandt, he would have to have a whole team of people, of apprentices to help him make work.
That's so fucking crazy. And me, sometimes I'm like, I don't want to paint because it's like,
I have to set it all up.
These guys were like fucking hours of preparatory work.
Dude, you would basically have like a workshop of people. But now during the Impressionist movement during the 1800s, you were able to go to the store, buy tubes of paint and paint outside, paint independently. Right. You didn't have to have a team of people to help you.
So you can make more work.
You can be way more prolific. And so the scientific innovations definitely gave the Impressionists, yeah, gave them a lot of leeway into making this new movement this quickly. So
yeah, because you got to make like a lot of these to kind of make a good one, right? Like it's like you
they made practice. So much. Yeah, yeah, they made so many paintings, and in comparison to somebody like Vermeer who made like 50 paintings, these guys are making hundreds of paintings,
right? And I think like that sometimes gets lost on like. I guess that sometimes gets lost when somebody feels like how do I appreciate this? And it's like you guys have to remember there's a lot of replication and practice that goes into like you make 50 to get one sort of deal.
Yeah. And these guys really liked the artist's hand, too. You're able to see the brushstroke. You're able to see the energy and the time. It's kind of like leaning into action painting a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Totally.
Okay, this is where I get confused about the fact that Manet might not actually consider himself an impressionist.
Wow.
So even though he kind of founded the movement, he's still trying to get his paintings into the Salon de Paris. So he's still a rich kid at heart and wants recognition.
I still want to sit at the bougie table.
I know. He still wants recognition from big art collectors and the hoity-toity art crowd.
That's the ego thing, right? Yeah. I want to be different, but I want you all to fucking like me.
I need you all to like me.
He
had so much criticism that, yeah, I mean, I got a feel for him a little bit about how much criticism he got for his work, but at least he's trying.
I mean, it was physically attacked, so yeah. I get it.
Of like, that'll fuck you up a little bit of how intense that is.
That'll hurt the confidence a little bit.
Totally. So he's still, like, after years, still trying to get in. And after years of trying, after the crazy reactions from Olympia in 1882, he finally got his last large painting, a bar at the Folies Bergères, into the Salon de Paris. I mean, this has got to be one of my favorite paintings of all time. Any bartender can relate to this girl's look. So,
oh yeah, this one.
I used to be a bartender, and Raquel used to be a bartender. Yeah. I used to be a very bad one.
I fucking loved bartending. I was
so the bar at the Folies Bergères is the hot spot for music and art and just overall entertainment in Paris at the time. And Manet and his friends would make sketches on site at the bar, but he did bring the barmaid Suzanne to his studio to pose for the painting, and there are some symbols that Manet intentionally puts in the painting to give the viewer some clue. So he likes doing this.
Yeah.
So displaying the oranges in the foreground, so he is alluding that the barmaid is also a prostitute. So oranges were a symbol for prostitution. Oh my gosh, if I had like a fucking penny for every time I had to say I'm not on the menu. Well, she might be. So the association of oranges and prostitutes goes back hundreds of years to the court of King Charles II.
Wow.
The orange girls who would sell oranges inside the theaters were often also sex workers.
Got
so
it. Okay.
Yeah, it's just like a little allude to we know.
I
know.
Embrace She's, it.
So another sex worker, right? So Manet be loving these girls, and so is everyone else. Well, the men at least. So especially in the 19th century Paris right now, since prostitution was at an all-time high in the 1800s France, prostitution was legal and highly regulated.
Oh.
Now, don't get me wrong. They were still heavily criticized by the public, but seen as like a necessary evil, like any other vice. So prostitutes were under scrutiny and under police regulation. Sex workers had to register with the police, get health screenings, and work in designated areas and within the brothels. And there were fucking hundreds of brothels, including the Moulin Rouge and Montmartre Paris.
Yeah,
not only women either. Oh. There were male or transgender prostitutes known as fairies and offered exotic services for men because you're gay. It's okay. It's fine. You like guys. It's okay.
It's okay. It's fine. You need an outlet. Listen.
It's okay. It's not exotic. Just put the it's money totally normal.
On the table.
So many of the Impressionist artists love painting prostitutes, Degas, Renoir, and of course Toulouse-Lautrec,
yes.
who definitely deserves an episode.
God. I'm going to be the one. I will love Ooh. Him. I did a biography on him in third grade, so I need to update the information.
Okay, third grade. This is where I did an essay on bats.
I like bats. I'm a fan. Bats.
And you did Toulouse-Lautrec.
Well, I don't think you know. This is pre-Google. I'm pretty sure, and I think we looked him up in like a autobiography and an encyclopedia, and it was like definitely a PG.
He's an artist. He's an artist. And it looks like posters.
Yeah. Okay. And like I drew like a circus scene, and that was my little
horse.
I had no idea.
These guys would definitely glorify the outsider lifestyle and also show the dark sides of it as well.
Right, because it's hella fun, but it can become it's dark. It's
fun, but then you'll see situations of in paintings like prostitutes going to the doctor, like kind of some heavy stuff.
Listen, I saw Moulin Rouge, and when Nicole Kidman gets fucking tuberculosis,
I'd be crying.
Oh my God, so many tears. Crying. I was heart broken 12 years old in that movie theater. Ewan McGregor and Nicole Kidman.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Ewan McGregor.
Movie.
So good.
So I think there is this commonality with artists and prostitutes as outsiders of the norm. We're both selling ourselves, mm-hmm. our talents, and we really want to make you feel something. Mm. And we also often have a day job, like a bartender or a performer, and often do our real job at nights. Mm. However, painting and fucking some gross dude is a totally different thing. And prostitutes probably don't romanticize prostitution as much as artists do. Let's just say that. And of course, there are the pimps. Women just can't have fucking anything.
Nothing. So not even our bodies.
You'll see a shadow of a man in many of Degas' ballerina paintings and drawings. That's their boss, waiting for them to be finished with rehearsal so they can get back to work. So anyway, if Manet participating in buying prostitutes, we actually don't know. There's a lot of information about his work and his practice, but not a lot on his actual personal private life.
He could pay it off.
Yeah, but from medical records, we do know that he suffered from ataxia from the age of 40 on, which is damage to the nerves that causes imbalance and coordination issues.
Okay.
So you'll notice that in many of his self-portraits and other artist renditions of him, he's using a cane to stand. And ataxia is a complication of late-stage syphilis.
Damn. So he's probably fucking, right?
Well, remember that whole love triangle right. with dad and his wife slash piano teacher?
Right.
Well, dad did die from complications of syphilis. And we might be able to assume that Manny might have contracted his early years. Yeah.
My God.
And everybody fucking has it. Like, all these dudes fucking have it. And it's still like a faux pas.
Yeah,
like,
but can you imagine getting syphilis from, like, your...
Possibly from your dad.
Possibly from your dad.
In a way. Or like, from mistress. Or just from fucking around. He might have fucked around some of these models and stuff like that. And they all had it. It's not like, it's just what it is. They just didn't have a cure for it back then. So I think we do know where this is going. So the years in between 1880 and 1882, Manet was undergoing agonizing procedures, including getting his gangrenous leg amputated.
Oh,
from problems with syphilis. Not after painting some beautiful floral paintings of the flowers that his friends would bring him in the hospital. Talk about immediacy.
Nice. Yeah.
So I'm like, gotta get these done. Hurry the fuck up.
Paintings. Beautiful flowers. I got something.
So this is actually these last florals. Although he was in excruciating pain, he actually remained pretty optimistic about his recovery. In his last surviving letter to a friend, it states, "I'm getting better and better."
Oh, no.
However, on April 30th, 1883, at the age of 51, Manet passed away, and a memorial exhibition took place in Paris the following year. Aww. So that is Edouard Manet. He is credited bridging realism and impressionism through radical innovations in painting. And of course, his everyday life subject matter would change the meaning of art forever.
Listen, hats off, dude.
Yes.
Hats off.
Good.
Okay, I'm going to take it off.
So that is Manet. Of course, there's like a lot more on this guy, but I had to get the tea. And
no, good job, man. I mean, yeah, we do the best we can with.
I mean, if you're a Manet expert,
come on the show, please. Like, we'd love to listen.
Yeah,
but you gotta say fuck and you gotta say penis three times.
It's fun. You gotta make it fun because Manet was fun and his paintings were fun and super scantily. You might look at his paintings and be like, what's the big fucking deal? They're fine.
Yeah, right?
This was crazy.
Yeah, they don't look offensive by any means. So it's funny that they were so hated.
Oh my God.
But I love that. Like,
that's why they're important. And that's why they're shown all the time and talked about in art history books because 100%. They started new movements, full new meanings of art, which is always going to be some drama. But
yes,
if I could even attempt to compare to Manet to anyone living today,
a person at the party.
This one is totally weird. So let me think what you think about this one. So this one literally popped in my head immediately and wouldn't go away. Okay. A super influential, insanely controversial, and I think at this point canceled, Marilyn Manson.
Canceled.
He's canceled.
Shame on you, Marilyn Manson.
Mainly the shock art comparison and the a little bit of fame horror situation because he was definitely alternative music, but just can't keep away from red carpets and things like that.
Right.
Definitely listen to Nine Inch Nails Starfucker.
I'm different.
Listen to Nine Inch Nails Starfucker. That's about him.
Oh.
Regardless of his outsider approach, he still wants to be a part of the mainstream media, whether he's willing to admit that or not.
He's in it for the money, in it for the fame. 100%.
Now, I know that he is canceled. He does. Yeah. It's one of these people that you're like, not good person.
No, terrible.
But I still listen to Portrait of American Family like at least once a week. And it did get me through high school. It's one of those, just like we love Egon Schiele, but he's fucking
weirdo. Love the work. We hate the guy.
Hate the guy. Yeah. And he's an absolute maniac too. You gotta, oh my God. His interviews.
The things
are really
he did to
weird.
Rose McGowan, just awful.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Of like, yeah. Not so, not
for her.
So good to young girls. Yeah. Not so cool to young girls at all.
Definitely a narcissist.
100%. Which Manet, I don't know. There there was definitely some ego there. But yeah, that was the one that just like could not go away out of my head. Of like, I have to say Marilyn Manson. And I think too, because people love to be shocked by him too.
Right. I was going to say like Lady Gaga.
That would have been a good one too. Yeah. Like Lady Gaga, because yeah, there's this outsider thing, but we all kind of fell in love with it. But
that's the truth. Yeah, that's a good one too. She was already like very well received, and Marilyn Manson was not well received.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, he was in the news. I mean, he was the whole Columbine situation. Columbine, yeah. I just make no songs. Good one. I did feel him on that one. I was like, you guys, why am I in court right now? I sing songs. None of it has to do with anything. And the songs were not, the song that they're talking about is Get Your Gun, and he's making fun of, like, you know, like pro-lifers and stuff like that. It's satirical, not go and get it. And Jesus. So those guys are just really fucking stupid and evil that stuff. And yeah, and he was very much like, I did not mean any of that. I'm not telling people to go shoot people. No way. No. I'm making fun of people that. But you guys don't get it. Like,
Sorry you don't get it.
But yeah, that was, of course, before all the stuff came out, all the bad stuff came out. But yeah. But yeah, so that's kind of who I thought.
Good one.
Of.
Yeah. Dude, I learned a lot. I do every time. Loving this.
So what am I to wear next time?
You know, I still don't know what I'm going to do.
Okay, it's a surprise.
It'll be a surprise, but I think we're going to go like less white man.
Okay. Yeah.
Next time
we've
around.
Done a few white guys. Less we're Europe. Sorry.
Let's go. Let's get away. Listen, it's just like the art world's so dominated by
it's
white.
What it
dudes.
Is. Yeah. Unfortunately.
But we'll get away from that next week. Maybe I'm looking for a lady next
looking
time.
For
so,
a lady.
Yeah. I really want to get a lady in here. I know we had a few already, but I want to get another lady. Listen, it's all about the ladies.
All about the ladies.
Girl, fucking power. So we'll see. I got a few things in the works, but we're gonna put a poll up on the gram. We also have our Instagram.
You should
go
follow
visit
us.
It baroque.b.podcast. Go support, go leave a review, leave a star. But yeah, we'll put a little voting poll up so you can have some hand in what who we go over next. Who do you want to hear about?
What do you
want to
hear?
Know?
What do you
want
to know?
We
what
want
you
your feedback.
What do you
want
to know?
Know?
What do you
want to
do?
What do you like? What do you don't like? How do you feel about who you do like? How do you feel about who you don't like? We want to know.
Because you're so one DM of us.
One of us.
All righty, guys. All right, listen, we love you.
Bye. Happy New Year. Bye.